I want to begin to talk about a subject this morning. I'm not sure at all that I would get it done. I guarantee you, even when I get done, I won't have covered every base on it. But I want to ask you to turn with me to verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. The Bible said, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." If God will help me this morning, I want to preach about the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The word "better" is used over and over and over in the book of Hebrews. There's a better testament. And God lets us know that here in this verse, there's the blood of Jesus, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but it became real in my heart yesterday evening as I was looking at the Word of God. The Bible said of Abel that he, being dead, yet speaketh. Our Lord's blood is still speaking today. Amen. And I want to look in the book of Hebrews. I've just picked up on the blood in this one book, the book of Hebrews. I'm not trying to cover it thoroughly throughout the Bible, but I want to pick up on the blood and the Lord in my heart and in my mind. Let me divide it up about seven different ways of how the blood speaks and what it speaks of in the book of Hebrews. And I believe that it'll be a blessing to your heart. It surely blessed mine. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the word of the living God. God, I thank you, Lord, this morning for these that are gathered. And I pray, God, today that you'd add your blessing to the preaching, add your blessing to the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Word of God would say to us and what the Spirit of God would say through the Word of God this day. God, I pray today, Lord, that, Lord, you would help us with our attention and help us, Lord, not to be looking into the afternoon or into the evening or into tomorrow, but help us, Lord, right now, Lord, to worship. Lord, the songwriter said and the choir sang it so wonderfully, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." Help us this day, God, to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here I'm going to use this one verse about the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. But I want to go through the book of Hebrews and where I find the blood in the book of Hebrews and see what it is that the blood is saying to us in our generation. Because the Word of God is very real and very much alive and very much inspired to every generation. Amen. It's quick and powerful, the Word of God said. And I want to give you something out of Hebrews chapter 2, if you'll turn back over there with me this morning. What does the blood speak of? In Hebrews chapter number 2, I want to begin reading in verse number 9. I believe the Word of God is important. He said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." You say, "Preacher, why do people meet on Sunday morning? And they come, and they go, and they come, and go, and come, and go, unchanged. Come and go without worshiping." I'll tell you, the answer is simple. We don't see Jesus. When we see Jesus, I'll tell you what, it'll change us. Amen. When we see Jesus, we'll worship. Amen. We can see one another and not worship. We can see the facility and not worship. We can see the preacher and not worship. I tell you, if God will help us to get a glimpse of Him, we'll worship this morning. Amen. The Bible said we see Jesus. Now, it became him. Look at verse 10. "For whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory." Remember this. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Watch this now. This right here is not talking about his blood. Listen carefully. This first statement, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. You see, we've taken on a body. We have flesh and we have blood. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. You say, well, preacher, how's that going to speak to us? Let me show you here. The Bible said, look at these words. He also himself likewise. See that right there? He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like, look at this, it'll bless you, be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself also hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You say, preacher, what is the blood speaking about here? Number one in the message today, the blood is speaking about identification. My friend, the blood is how that Christ is going to be identified with his people. The Word of God tells us here, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We know that Christ was born of a virgin. We know that his blood is sinless, it's spotless, and it's perfect. But what the Bible is telling us here, that he took on a body of flesh and blood so that he could be identified with you and identified with me, so that when he goes to the cross, my friend, he's taking our place. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible said in Philippians 2, 7, but he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant. Watch this. And was made in the likeness of men. I'll tell you, it's going to bless you this morning if you can see him getting up from the right hand of God the Father and descending down here into this sin-benighted world and becoming like you and I, that you and I might become like him one day after a while. It'll bless your heart when you see the blood is speaking of him identifying with you and with me. Oh, beloved friend, watch this. Listen to this verse. Oh, I love it. The Bible said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Watch this now. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, my friend, he was not a sinner. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. But the Bible is saying he took on him the form of a servant. My friend, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. One day after a while, he identified with you and identified with me. That's why when you hurt, he knows your hurt. The Bible said here, look what it said here in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. How many believes he's merciful? Because he knows, amen, what you're going through. And he's faithful because he knows what you're going through and what I'm going through. Thank God this morning the blood speaks of identification. Identification through the blood. You've not yet resisted unto blood, the Bible said, striving against sin. I don't know about you, but I thank God this morning that He was willing to be identified with the likes of you and I. That He stood up one day, amen. Somebody said, well, He searched through heaven. I'm not trying to pick this morning, but I'm going to tell you something right now. That was settled before the foundation of the world. That the Lamb would come. That the Lamb would be slain. That the Lamb would take on a body of flesh and blood and walk among men and be tempted in all points like as you and I are, yet without sin. The precious Lamb of God. God's dear Lamb, the Lord Jesus, the blood speaks of identification. You know something this morning? I believe with all of my heart that our Lord wants us to keep that fresh on our heart, that the likes of Him came down here among the likes of us, that the likes of us can go up there and live forever in the presence of the likes of Him. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but that blesses my heart. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. You say, preacher, why is it that we don't have to be afraid to die? I tell you why. Because He came down here where we were, and He made us a way through His blood. He made us a passageway, amen, into the presence of God. Not only does the blood speak of identification this morning, but let me give you this morning. The blood speaks of redemption. I'm just staying in the book of Hebrews with the blood this morning. Watch this now. In Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 7, the Bible said, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Watch this. Not without blood, which He offered for Himself and for the errors of the people. You know, in Hebrews chapter number 9, if you'll turn there with me, we understand there that God is relating back to the Old Testament. And then the Bible said in verse number 8, the Bible said the Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'll get into this a little bit later, amen. But the way had not been made manifest yet. They would go in once every year. And all it would do would be put off the sin of the people from year to year. But thank God there was coming a day when Calvary's Lamb would die and God would rent the veil in the temple from top to bottom and we would have access. You say, what is it important that it was rent from top to bottom? Oh, yes. That shows that man couldn't do it. It was God that had to do it. Amen. It was God that had to give us access into the holiest of all. It speaks about redemption. Watch this in verse number 9. The Bible said, while the first tabernacle was yet standing, in verse number 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Oh, listen, it couldn't do what needed to be done. Amen. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, oh, I love that. Look at verse 11. But Christ becoming a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, watch it now, eternal redemption for us. The blood speaks of identification. He's identified with us. But thank God He didn't want to just identify with us. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to purchase us out of our sin, out of the marketplace. Amen. He wanted to do for us what Hosea did for Gomer. He wanted to get us off of the auction block and put us in the family of God and redeem our never dying soul. And He knew it would only be by the blood, by the precious blood of Calvary's cross. When the blood speaks, it speaks of identification and it speaks of redemption, eternal redemption. The Bible said in Hebrews 10 and 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. I want you to know, listen, John the Baptist knew the Old Testament and he knew it well. But when he stood on the banks of the Jordan River, he was encouraged. When he said, "Behold, I want you to see a Lamb of God that we've never seen before. This Lamb didn't come to put away or put off the sin. This Lamb came to take away the sin of the world." Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but the Bible said, oh, listen this morning, I'm going to brag on Jesus just a minute right here. The Bible said that those other offerings could not make perfect. But you know what happened, my friend, when he applied the blood in your life and in my life, in the sight of God, he made us perfect. He made us just like his son. You say, "Preacher, are you saying you're perfect?" I'm saying the part of me that's going to spend eternity with him is perfect this morning. Amen. Amen. In the eyes of God. He said, "Well, your flesh is not perfect. That part of me ain't going to spend eternity with him." Amen. One day he'll give me a perfect body to match up with that perfect soul and that perfect spirit that's been redeemed by that perfect, precious, powerful blood. And then it'll be all right. Oh, beloved friend, it speaks of identification. I don't know about you, but it humbles me to think that he would be identified with me so that I could be identified with him. That's what being a Christian is. When you tag that name, amen, and we really didn't tag ourselves that, amen. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Somebody on the outside looking in said, "Them people are like Christ." And they put that tag on them, amen. I tell you, he was identified with us. Hallelujah. May God, the Holy Ghost, speak to our hearts. Help us to go out of this building. If he's not ashamed, our brother Wayne, to call us brethren, how can we be ashamed to call him Lord in this world that we live in? He said, "I'm not ashamed to call them brethren." I don't know about you this morning. There have been times in my 27 years of knowing Christ in the free pardon of sin when I shut up, when I should have spoke up. Amen. When I put my light under a bushel and didn't let it shine. But there's never been a time. You think about this. Brother Joe, all those years you've been being saved by the grace of God, there's never been a time when he was ashamed to call you brethren. And you say, "Why is that, preacher?" You can wrap it up in one word. The blood. The precious blood, amen, that redeemed our soul and redeemed our spirit. Identification. Oh, bless his name. That the likes of him would be willing. Amen. Listen, there's times, how many's with me right here? There's times when our children, we're not ashamed to be identified with them. And there's times, I can remember those girls on the ball court. I mean, I used to go every chance I got, I'd go and watch them play basketball, watch them play volleyball. And when they done it right, I was a hollering, "That's my baby. That's my girl." And when they didn't get it right, I'd point at Miss Eve. I'd say, "That's their baby. That's her baby. That's her girl." Amen. But I tell you what's the truth. There's never been a time when my Savior looked at me and said he belongs to somebody else. Oh, no. He's always said, "He's mine. He's mine. I redeemed him by the precious blood of Calvary's cross." Oh, hallelujah. Identification. Redemption through the blood. Through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me get to the third thing. You say, "How many you got, preacher?" Come back tonight and I'll tell you. Amen. It'd scare you if I told you this morning. Amen. Come back tonight and I'll tell you. Let's look at this third thing. Not only in the Word of God do we find it speaks of identification. Can you hear this blood talking now? And it speaks of redemption, but it speaks of salvation through the blood. Look with me, if you will, over there, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 28. Listen to what the Bible said here. Let's talk about this for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 28, the Bible said, through faith. Well, I'm going to just read all about Moses. Back up to verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Let me just stop and say, we need some more parents that are not afraid of the king. Say amen right there. I'm telling you what's the truth. Somebody said, I'd be afraid to spank my children. I said, I'd be afraid not to. Hallelujah. That's a truth. Amen. Somebody lock you up if you spank your children. I say, get us a cell. Amen. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, watch this now, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, watch this, as seeing him who is invisible. Well, my friend, listen, watch the verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea, by the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. I'm looking at verse 28, talking about, my friend, the blood, how it speaks not only of identification, how it speaks not only of redemption, but it speaks of salvation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Most of you all, I'm sure, are aware of what happened down there in Egypt when God said, listen, I will pass through the land of Egypt. He had brought plague after plague after plague. 9 of them, as a matter of fact, on the Egyptians. And Moses and Pharaoh would have a contest, so to speak. But then the 10th plague was coming, the death of the firstborn. And God told Moses, God said, Moses, listen. He said, I want you to take a lamb. If the house is too little for the lamb, then let the lamb provide for 2 houses. Amen. And he said, I want you to take a lamb. He said, I want you to shed that lamb's blood. He said, I want you to, my friend, put that lamb's blood on the doorpost, plural, and on the lintel. Now he said, listen, when I see the blood, I get a little bit confused. I'm not going to fall out with anybody. You can talk about a death angel, but I'm going to tell you right now, God was looking for the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. I tell you, the blood is speaking, my friend, of salvation. You say, preacher, what did that blood say? I'll tell you what that blood said. Listen to me carefully. This will bless your heart. God, give me this morning, early this morning. Listen, that blood, number one, said, there's somebody in that house that believes God. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When my friend the Lord came by and he saw the blood, that said, hey, there's somebody that listened to the man of God. There's somebody that, my friend, obeyed the word of God. There's somebody in that house that believes God. You see, the blood has never been sprinkled without somebody believing God. Somebody had to believe God. That blood has never been applied in the heart without somebody taking God at His word and believing God. Never. Never will be. Amen. You say, preacher, what else is that blood saying? Well, let's think about this for just a minute. How many heard that blood say somebody in there believes God? What else that blood saying? I'll tell you what it's saying. It's saying the firstborn in this house don't have to worry about dying tonight. Say amen. You say, preacher, I don't see what's so great about that. Probably nothing if you ain't the firstborn. Say amen. But if you're the firstborn, I listened to Brother Leonard Fletcher sing that song last week about going one dark night in Egypt and that young lad saying, well, Daddy, would you go and see if the blood is still there? I want you to know, hallelujah, if the blood's ever been there, the blood is still there this morning. It has to be applied. It has to be applied. It speaks of salvation. My friend, listen. Listen, there could have been a lot of things that God instructed the children of Israel to do. He could have instructed them, my friend, to leave him a bowl of fruit. Amen. He could have instructed them to tie him up an ox. But he wanted us to know that there's only one way to escape the impending judgment. My friend, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there's only one way to escape the judgment. And that precious blood, that sprinkling, must be applied in our heart and in our life. Oh, friend of mine, I know I've mentioned this, I believe, in this church before. But several years ago, the Lord let me see something. There's nothing new under the sun, but I never heard it before. The blood is here, and the blood is here. But God let me see, Brother Joe, where the blood was not. It was not on the threshold. Never thought about that before in my life. But God wanted us to know the blood is made and was shed to be walked through, not to be walked over. And not to be walked on, but to be walked through. God made us a passageway into eternity. We can have eternal redemption by His blood. We can have eternal salvation by His blood. There is no other way. Just through the blood of Jesus. The blood said the people in this house believe God. The blood said the firstborn in this house is safe. The blood was saying, we believe judgment's coming, but it's not going to touch anybody in this house. I'm going to tell you something. I had a funeral last week. Some of my kin people, my daddy's brother. And I'm going to tell you right now, you would be surprised at the people, probably in your family and in my family, that are unconcerned about judgment. Unconcerned about the impending doom that's coming upon this world. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because of the news? No, because of the Word of God. The Word of God says this thing's coming to a close, amen? As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Somebody needs to remember Lot's wife and quit looking back and look to the blood, amen, that was shed that we might have eternal redemption. We see pictured in Abel's lamb that God accepts the blood, the acceptance of the blood. We see pictured in Israel's Passover here that God, the blood is applied. We see the application of the blood. We see pictured in the tabernacle the atonement of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Brother Larry, nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, preacher, that's elementary preaching. Well, maybe I'm just an elementary preacher. Amen. But I know one thing. If I ever get in high school, I don't know if I can stand it. I'm enjoying grade school so good. Amen. God said this blood has got something to say to you and to me. It speaks of identification. It speaks of redemption. And it speaks of salvation. The Bible said here, I'm going to read it one more time and close. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You say, preacher, aren't you worried about dying without God and going to hell? No. Why? The blood. Jesus identified with us, came down here. But Jesus was different than us. when you and I are tempted, we sin. Or at least I can say when you and I are tempted, we have sinned in that temptation. We don't have to sin when tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. If being tempted made you a sinner, then Christ was a sinner. But Christ was not a sinner. It's not a sin to be tempted. But it is a sin to fall into that temptation and to go that way. The Bible talked about the LSD. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's still the Word of God. Amen. But listen, Jesus came. Jesus' blood. Perfect blood. Pure blood. Powerful blood. Has delivered you and I from the power of sin. From the dominion of death. From the dominion of hell. From the dominion of sin while we walk in this life. Sin, the Bible said, shall not have dominion over you. It speaks of identification. God said, I love you. How much, Lord? Well, I love you enough to leave my throne and come down here to earth and be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. I don't mean he was a sinner, but he took on a body of flesh and blood, just like we have. Shed his blood that you and I could be redeemed. You and I could be saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you. I don't know. I wonder, brother. I don't have Bible for this. But did everybody in Israel obey the Lord? I don't know. If you can help me with that after church, let me know. I know this. When they were bitten, they didn't all look. When Moses raised that serpent up, amen, that brazen serpent, they didn't all look. But those that looked lived. Amen? I tell you, everywhere that blood was applied, that house was safe and secure because God made a covenant, a blood covenant with His precious people. I don't know about you this morning, but that blood spoke to my heart last night. It speaketh better things than that of Abel. All that blood back there in Abel's day, that spoke good things. But I tell you what, God had better things to say through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach the Word of God. God, it's my prayer this morning that, Lord, people would look down in their soul and ask themselves this question: has that blood been applied? Am I ready to meet God? If I should die today, do I know for sure that heaven would be my home? God, I ask you today to speak to hearts. Lord, it was a dark night in Egypt when that fearful time came. And God, it's a dark day that we're living in. Surely, Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I pray, dear God, speak to hearts this day. Speak to us, Lord, about our families. Help us to get under a burden for our families. Lord, somebody prayed for us. Help us to pray for somebody else. Help us, Lord. Lord, you're not ashamed to be called, to call us your brethren. Help us not to be ashamed to call you our Lord and our Savior. In this dark day we live in, Lord, thank you for the identification through the blood. Thank you for the redemption that you speak of through the blood. And thank you for eternal salvation through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.